There's hardly a week, if any, but that I hear some new story or joke about forgetting. Some of them are pretty good. I heard one the other day that I just must share with you tonight. This middle-aged fellow liked to golf, but he was like some of the others, he wasn't too good. And he wanted somebody to go with him that just wouldn't beat the tar out of him every time. Someone said, you know, there's an 85-year-old man that lives over here at the edge of town that still likes to golf and said he really enjoys going, but he doesn't shoot too low a score. You would enjoy going with him. So he asked the 85-year-old man to go with him. They went out and teed up, played a hole or two. They got on this long par 5 hole. I don't see where that ball went, the 85-year-old man said. I did. He said, you mean you saw that ball as it left? He said, yes, sir. You saw where I drove it? He said, I saw it. He said, you mean you saw where it landed? He said, I did. He said, would you point it out to me? He said, I forgot. A child can forget something that you told him yesterday, but he can remember a promise that you made to him a year ago. An older person tends to forget what happened today and yesterday, but can tell you in detail what happened when they were younger. You can forget something that your husband or wife asked you to do today, but you can remember something that he or she did 10 years ago if you get in an argument and want to bring it up. I tell you, this mind that God has given us is an unusual thing. I like to call it a computer. I think it is, in a sense. Some may be better programmed than others. But you know, it's interesting to study the Bible and to look at what's said about forgetting. Now, I want to talk with you for just a few minutes tonight on the subject of forgetting. Three things. There are some things which we tend to remember that we need to forget. And there are some things that we tend to forget that we need to remember. And there are some things that we'll never be able to forget. Let's take those one at a time and examine them for a few minutes in light of what the Bible has to say. First of all, there are some things that we do need to forget. Someone has said that we need a good forgettery as well as a good memory, and I tend to agree with that. Paul, in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 and 14, says we need to forget the past. He was not saying that we don't learn from the past. He was certainly not trying to do away with those precious memories that we sing about in that beautiful song. But he was talking about life in general and saying that looking to those things that are ahead, I must also forget those things that are in the past in order to be able to do what I need to do in the present. There are so many people who have a tendency to live in the past. They never talk about anything except what happened in the past. Yesterday is gone. And although, as we mentioned this morning, we do sometimes have a second chance, especially with God, and God gives us other opportunities, we cannot go back and relive yesterday. I may have a second chance to do something better than the way I did it yesterday, but I can never go back and do what I did yesterday, or even this morning, or even a second ago. That second is gone. And I cannot go back and relive it. Let's learn from the past, and let's remember it in that sense, but let's learn to quit living in the past, whether the past has been good or bad. I know of some people who live in the past, in a past that is bad. They've made a lot of mistakes, and they just think about that and never anything else, and out of that comes a period of depression. But I also know some who live on the accomplishments of the past. Oh, I've already done my part. I did this for several years. I'm retired now. I'm going to let somebody else do it. And I'm thinking about mainly the Lord's work here. Oh, I did all these things now. Let some younger person do what I did. Look what all I've accomplished in the past. I've done my work. I've paid my due. And in that sense, just lives on the accomplishments of the past. We need to learn to put the past behind us. Especially even with our own thoughts and relationships with each other. I like the attitude that Joseph manifested toward his brethren in Genesis 41 and thereabouts in the book of Genesis. Joseph had been mistreated. He had been mistreated by his own brethren. And yet here several years later, when they come in to buy grain, do you think he held that against them and did all of his living in the past? No, he wanted to know what was present. He wanted to know about his father's condition now. And he wanted to help them to be able to live in the next few years of difficulty. And the attitude that's expressed there, and even is expressed in the 50th chapter of Genesis, after Jacob had died and been buried, and his brothers thought maybe he'll try to retaliate now, Joseph said, in a sense, no, we don't live in the past. Let's take things where they are, and let's put the past behind us, and let's go forward to do the best that we can. We need to learn to forget the past in that sense. I suggest to you that we need to learn to forget trifling matters. Now, if it's something that God has not forgiven and something that could put one's soul in danger, it should not be forgotten. I'm not talking about that. We'll get to that a little later when we get to another angle of this lesson. But look at all the little trifling things that we do that are irritable to each other, that we tend to remember. You and I probably tonight could take a piece of paper and a pen and start making a list about our families and our closest friends and all the little things that irritate us, and sometimes forget the good things that should overshadow those. Liberty must be taken into consideration when God's word does not bind us with a commandment. And I like a statement that's made in Proverbs 10:12. It says, love covereth all sins. Now that's abused sometimes to suggest if we just love Christ, that'll take care of all of our sins, and if we love, we'll overlook all these things. That's not what it's saying. But it is at least saying that we need to learn to put little trifling things in the past and not remember those things against one another, but to look for the things that are good and the things on which we can build. Well, folks, it would take all of our time in the family circle to deal with these little things that really shouldn't matter if we make mountains out of molehills and don't forget those little things that happen. We need to learn to forget the little trifling things that don't matter and look for those things that do matter the most, that have to do with salvation and with the right relationships. In the third place, we need to forget the corrected wrongs. I want you to be sure that you listen to what I said. We need to be able to forget the corrected wrongs. God does. Twice in Hebrews 8, 12, and 10, 17, quoting from the Old Testament, he said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And we're told that we are to forgive as he forgives, or in fact that he will forgive us as we forgive. There in Matthew 6, just after Jesus taught his apostles how to pray, and instructed in Ephesians 4:32 to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. We need to do this toward one another, and we need to do it toward ourselves. Sometimes we're harder on ourselves than God is. When God forgives, he forgets. Now, he doesn't until he forgives, and that's another side of the picture. But when a wrong has been corrected and we've done everything that we can do to make it right and we've turned to God in obedience, he'll forgive. We ought to have that same relationship with each other. We ought to look at ourselves like that. I could sit down tonight and think back to the time that I was in that little one-teacher elementary school up in Jackson County, and I can remember some things that I did that were wrong. I can think back to the time that I was in high school. And I remember some things that I would change if I were to go back today and live that over again. I can remember things that I've done that were not just what they should have been when I was in college and since I have been married and since I've had a family. I can make a list, and you could too, because none of us is perfect, of things, mistakes that we've made down through the years. I remember making those mistakes, and if I took the time, I could call them to remembrance, many of them. But on October the 19th, 1953, I was baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and that took care of all the mistakes I'd made up to that point. And since October the 19th, 1953, I have been a Christian in the body of Jesus Christ, connected to the blood of Christ, where there is forgiveness. And I think, like you, have tried to live a humble, penitent life, believing that God will forgive, that the blood of Christ will take care of all my sins. And therefore, although I could remember in the sense that I could list them and call them back to my memory, things that I've done that's wrong, I can forget all of those in reality. because Christ has wiped the slate clean. And I'm able to forget those corrected wrongs. I could make a list of times that people have wronged me. But I need to forget those when they are made right. I don't have the right to hold that against someone. No one has the right to hold against me something I did was wrong if I have made that right. We need to be able to forget our corrected wrongs. And I think in a sense we need to learn to forget self. We need to be self-conscious enough and have enough of the right kind of pride to be clean and modest and decent, and to watch our words and our actions, and to present ourselves as we ought to. But a person can be so self-conscious that he cannot think about anybody else or anything else. Jesus said, denying yourself, take up your cross. I don't believe we'd be doing any damage to that passage if we read it like this: forget yourself and take up your cross and follow me. In other words, don't spend all your time thinking about yourself. I'll give you an example that shows the importance of this, and I'm sure most of you have had this same experience. I have had days in my life when maybe I had a headache. I didn't feel well. But something happened, and I became involved in doing something that took all my thought power. I had to concentrate on what I was doing, in maybe helping someone else or involved in a job, and I realized a little bit later on that I had not thought about my headache for several hours. But then when I started thinking about it again, it started hurting again. Now, I know that all aches aren't taken care of that way, but it illustrates what I'm saying. In order to really be serviceable to other people and to be the kind of people God wants us to be, there is a certain extent to which we've got to forget ourselves and involve ourselves completely in serving other people and in serving God. So in this sense, I suggest to you that there are some things that we need to forget, and some of these we tend to remember. Now let's switch to the other side of the coin for a moment. There are some things that we need to remember that we may tend to forget. We said a moment ago that we need to forget the corrected wrongs, but we need to remember those that have not been corrected. James 1 describes a man who looks in a glass, and that's a mirror, and sees himself for what he is, and then he says he turns aside and goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he is. Person looks at his life and he sees something needs to be corrected, but he just overlooks it. And you can do that. You can overlook something and put it aside to the extent that you can almost make yourself believe it never happened or that it's not true. God has never promised to forgive any sin until we meet his conditions for forgiveness. And his way of taking care of it is not forgetting it until it is forgiven. And we need to be careful along that line. I'm not suggesting by any stretch of the imagination that you and I can remember every little thing that we've done that was a mistake. But we need to constantly be aware of this and thinking of our lives, and maybe like David, praying for the sins that we know about, and even those secret sins, things that we may not really understand the importance of and the extent of. But asking for God's forgiveness and living that humble, penitent life. I've had people respond to the invitation in the last few years who would say, you know, I began looking back at my life and I remember some things I did several years ago that I never really repented of. And I want to be sure that I make those right in the sight of God. I appreciate that attitude, because we do need to remember our mistakes until we turn them over to God, and then both of us forget them, God and us. And so it's appropriate for us to put our memories to work, to search our lives on a regular basis and to look for those ways that we can improve and where we do need God's forgiveness. There's where we need to use the memory, not with those corrected wrongs. We need to remember God's laws. The wise man said to his son in Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law. And he was instructing him in the laws of God. Hosea 4:6 says, for lack of knowledge my people perish. We have a tendency, and this is a problem in our generation, to forget what the Bible says about something, to not study and to remind ourselves, and we do need to be reminded. I don't know about you, but I find myself sometimes having to go back and check exactly how the words fit together in a verse that I thought I knew and learned some time ago, but I hadn't used it for a while, and I had sort of forgotten where it was and what it said. One thing that impresses me about the writings of the Apostle Peter is that he's always saying, I bring these things to your remembrance. One of the reasons that we as preachers need to mention things that are somewhat familiar, but from time to time, is to bring us into remembrance so that we don't forget the laws of God. And then we need to be careful that we don't ever forget the blessings of God. There's an unusual statement in Psalm 103, verse 2, forget not all his benefits. You know, sometimes on the job, we get to the point that we take the fringe benefits for granted. Those, they're taken care of. We never see them in our checks. We just sort of take those benefits for granted. I think we do that with God sometimes. And here again, I don't know about you, but I tell you what's happened in China in the last few weeks has caused me to sit down and think a little bit more about the blessings that we have, that we may take for granted. With all the things that are wrong in our country and with our government, you and I at least can still worship God. We can still live in a democracy and we can have freedom. We need to thank God for that. And when you look at the people that are hungry, think about the food that we have. Think about what we waste compared to what some people don't have. And then the spiritual blessings that are even greater than that. We need to be sure that we don't forget God's blessings and that we do not forget to thank him for them. It's hard for me to imagine sitting down to a meal without thanking God for our blessings. There are some times in public places that it's not easy to do that out loud, but it's always right and always appropriate for a Christian in the appropriateness of the moment, at least in his own heart, to pause a moment and thank God for that food that's on that table, for the clothing that we have. And tonight it doesn't really matter after we're in the building whether it's raining outside or not. We need to remember the blessings that we tend to forget. We are specifically told in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 26 that we are to remember the Lord's death till he comes again. And I believe we have a tendency to forget that. So many of us have been worshiping God so many years that we tend to take our worship for granted. And we have prayed and thanked God so many times that he sent his son to die on the cross that if we're not careful, it can become just words and not really in the depths of our hearts. We need to be careful. I've had some people tell me, and I've read some stories about situations where people had been involved in some traumatic experiences and had been saved from those experiences. Maybe an automobile accident, a fiery crash, and the person is about to burn to death, and someone comes along just in time and reaches in and pulls that person out. And that person has said, you know, I seldom close my eyes, but that I can see those arms reaching down to pull me out of that car. Why? Such a traumatic experience. Such a deed that was done to reach down and save this person's life, and that person can repaint that picture in his memory just by closing his eyes. Somehow or other, when we become Christians and we die with Christ in the figurative sense, we need to paint that picture in our minds so that we can't close our eyes without, in a sense, seeing that picture of the Son of God dying on the cross and by that action reaching down his arms to save us from the mire of sin. May God help us never to forget what God did for us and what Christ did for us on that occasion. We mentioned a moment ago that Peter has a lot to say about bringing things to our remembrance. Let me share one of those with you as we make the next point. After mentioning a list of seven things to be added to faith, the seven things that we usually call the seven Christian graces, in 2 Peter 1, 5, 6, 7, and 8, verse 9, he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verses 12 and 15 of that same chapter, he talks about bringing these things back to their remembrance. You know, sometimes we can forget who we are. And some of our actions and words are because we forget who we are. When we have become Christians and we're in this process of growth that's described here, He says if we don't do that, if we don't grow, that we have forgotten that we were purged from our sins. We need to remember that constantly. I've been purged from my past sins. Therefore, I'm a Christian. Christ is to live in me, and I'm to show his life in my life. I can't forget that. There have been occasions where a person had lived a bad type of life and was converted to Christianity, or at least to a better way of life. And occasionally there would be a little setback, and he'd go back into whatever the former problem was. Someone might remark, you know, he forgot what happened. He's gone back. He's forgotten. That's what happens when we as Christians forget that we were purged from our past sins. We need to always remember who we are. I try to teach our young people in classes when I'm with them and when I talk to young people in gospel meetings. If you'll always remember who you are, you take the young people that are in the audience tonight that are students at Freed Hardeman, when they leave and go somewhere, in a sense, they're carrying three names with them if they're Christians. They're carrying their family name, their school name, and their spiritual name. And every action and every word is going to reflect on those. I wear the name that my dad had and my grandfather had and so on back for years and years. What I do reflects on that name. I'm wearing the name Christian now. And I need to remember who I am. And never forget that. You need to remember who you are. We need to remember that we've been purged from our past sins. We need to remember the chastening of the Lord. Hebrews 12:5 says, forget not the chastening of the Lord, and that the Lord loves us, and that he does chastise us. And this goes back and in an opposite way treats the point we treated in an earlier part of the lesson, and that is that we learn by our mistakes and by the discipline that's given relative to those mistakes. When a parent has, by the appropriate means, taught a child that something's wrong, if he's taught him in the right way, he will tend to remember that. The right kind of discipline works. And here he's talking about discipline from the Father, and particularly from the Heavenly Father. In summing up this point, I want to suggest to us that we need tonight to remember that the judgment day is real. I think we have tended to forget that. We live in a society where there are so many variables and so many things that change and so many ways that we can influence decisions that if we're not careful, even though we know the Bible teaches otherwise, we'll sort of sell ourselves on the idea that when we get to the day of judgment, somehow or other, we're going to be able to talk God out of it. And that it's not really going to be a real judgment, that somehow or other, we're going to be able to take care of our own fate at that time. That's not what the Bible teaches. That little short verse in Luke 17:32 that says, remember Lot's wife, was put there for a reason. I don't know what Lot's wife's name was, and I don't care. But that little verse that says, remember Lot's wife, in a sense is saying to us today, remember that God means what he says. He said, don't look back. She looked back. She became a pillar of salt. God meant what he said. Now, that's the God that we're dealing with. Now, let's hasten to remind ourselves that that's the same God that brought Lot and his family out of that place, Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's the same God who said, for just 10 people, I won't even destroy those wicked cities. There's his grace, and there's his love, and there's his interest in people. But even that God of grace, when he tells somebody what's what, means that's it. He said, don't look back. And she did. She became a pillar of salt. We need to remember that the judgment day is real. And we're going to face God in that judgment day. Some things we need to forget. Some things we need to remember. But there are two things in the eternity, one of which you and I will never forget. And only one of which we'll never forget. Those that go to heaven will never be able to forget the greatness of God. And those that are lost eternally will never be able to forget lost opportunities, turned down opportunities, putting things off. And those of us that are in this building tonight certainly fit that because we've heard enough gospel to save the world. And if we are not saved in heaven, where we can remember God's blessings for an eternity, there's no doubt that if we're lost, we'll remember for an eternity those lost opportunities here on earth. Those that go to heaven are going to be around the throne of God, worshiping and praising Him forever. There will be no time to forget the greatness of God and His grace. And those that are lost eternally in the terribleness of hell will have all the time of eternity, and time doesn't really measure it, to remember the opportunities that are turned down. Would it not be terrible to have to remember June the 18th, 1989 is one of those lost opportunities? There's no reason to. Because if you will remember that Christ died for you, and you will remember the teaching of the gospel that you can come to Him in penitence and faith and baptism for the remission of sins, and you can remember that He is there reaching out and asking you to come, you can do what you need to tonight so that you'll never have to remember in eternity a lost opportunity. Don't let tonight be a lost opportunity. But come to Jesus as together we stand and sing. Amen.